Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message. We continue our series in Philippians, the Epistle of Joy. Today we're in chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, The Secret to Contentment. And I think we could look at this passage today and see the secret to contentment is finding our pleasure in what pleases God. That God Himself is pleased to accomplish His will and purpose. That God, sovereign God, working in providence, is pleased to fulfill His will, His good pleasure. And the secret to contentment is this: that we ourselves would be pleased with the very thing God is pleased with. That's the crux of this message. Let me read the scripture to you in chapter 4, verses 10 through 13 to frame the message today. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. This letter to the Philippians, when you look at this section here, you could say he's come to the heart of it. He's come to the heart of the whole message for these Philippians, and not saying to them that their gift doesn't matter. We're going to talk about that more next week. He's saying he really appreciates their gift, but he wants them to, as we've talked about 2 weeks, 3 weeks prior to this, he wants them to be spiritually stable, to be steadfast. The whole letter has been this epistle of overflowing joy, where he was leading them to see that God will not fail in what he began. You think of chapter 1, verse 6, He who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And Paul knew that. He was happy. He was thrilled. He was overwhelmed with joy, knowing that God had put His hand on them and gave them, and they were a church, and they were exemplifying Christ-like behavior. They were showing forth that they were the church of Jesus Christ, and Paul was filled with joy. He was so joyful, he knew that whether he lived or died, this church would go on. But Paul was concerned for this church, as we've seen throughout the letter. Especially, there must have been the concern that there was some disunity, or at least the potential was there. There must have been a threat against their unity. When we came into chapter 4, indeed, Paul addressed an issue between two women, two of the leading women, probably women that had been with Paul at the very beginning, the founding of the church in Philippi. And so Paul writes at the very beginning, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. In other words, they were not getting along at all. Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with others. Help them to get along. Help them to agree with each other. It was important for them as two women to be in unity with each other, because their problem, whatever it was, must have been creating some issues in the church. They could not be spiritually stable, and in particular, as we think about what Paul is saying about his own life, about contentment in the Lord, this outgrowth of resigning himself, or resolving himself to be pleased with that which pleases God, that he could say the result of that, the fruit of that is contentment. He could see that the Philippian church was struggling to be content. And here's how we know this. First, Euodia and Syntyche are in disagreement. They are striving with each other. They're not contending for the gospel. They're contending against one another. And Paul calls them to get along. When we look at verse 4 of chapter 4, he tells them, I think he's writing to them. Paul Bidler pointed this out a couple weeks ago, and I think Paul's right on the money when he points out that verse 4 through 7, that Paul is encouraging these two women why they need to get along. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul is setting for these women and for the church and for us too supplying some building blocks on which to build your faith to grow in order that we can become those who truly are content, being pleased with that which pleases God. If God is pleased with our circumstance, if He's pleased that here we are, we're in this situation, then we can be pleased with that as well. Whatever it was, whatever the anxiety was, whatever was causing this angst and this trouble between these two women, certainly Paul would have them to work it out, and he's giving building blocks for them to build on that they may come to this point of being pleased with that which God is pleased with. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Oh, he writes to those women, and we've covered this already. You can look back at the other messages, but I want us to see that what he's doing is he writes to these women. He's writing to the church as well. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Don't forget, women, the Lord is near, the very Lord that you contended for his gospel. He is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And here's the building block. When we do this, when we heap our anxieties upon Him, and more to the point of the context here, as Euodia and Syntyche would, instead of striving with each other, would both instead cast their anxieties upon the Lord, with prayer and petition, offering petitions to the Lord with thanksgiving, making requests to God, they would find the peace of God, which cannot be explained, actually guarding their hearts. That sounds like a life of contentment. It sounds like a life that is at peace with what God is doing, believing that God is able to do that which He promises to do. But if we hold on to the anxieties, if we don't cast them on Him, we sure can't live in this contentment. We can't find ourselves pleased with that which God is pleased with. Then in verse 8, he writes to the whole church. He says, "Brothers, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about these things," he says to them. He said, "Do these things. Whatever you've learned, heard, and seen in me, whatever has been of benefit, put into practice." And here's what he says. Here's the promise, the second building block toward contentment, and the God of peace will be with you. So first, cast your anxieties upon Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Put your anxieties on Him, and the peace of God will be with you. And the second part, have thoughts, remember, spiritual. Think about the great excellencies of Christ, the spiritual virtues of Christ, true, noble, and so on. And in doing this, the God of peace will be with you. So if you have the peace of God guarding your heart and the God of peace with you, you have your heart set in the right spot. Now Paul begins, you have your heart set right. Then in verses 10 through 13, Paul then says these most wonderful verses that we can say Paul had found contentment. No doubt Paul understood what he taught in verses 4 through 9. And this is what we need to learn as well. And so let's look at verses 10 through 13 and see what we can glean from this for our edification, that we can be built up in our faith. You have to see this and say, Paul was happy. He says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me." 10 years had gone by. If you remember, when he first left Philippi, he went on to Thessalonica. We're going to see this in verses 15 through 18 next week. Excuse me. And Paul commends them because they gave over and over and over, and they gave out of their poverty. And that's what he says throughout Corinthians, when he's giving this testimony to how faithful the Philippian believers were, the believers in Macedonia. And he says, he rejoices because now they've actually renewed that concern. But he knows that they would have done it if they could, he says later in the verse, "but you had no opportunity to show it." Perhaps they had lost track of Paul. Or perhaps the poverty became so severe that they couldn't, even though they wanted to. But you know that they had been praying for him. You know that they had been concerned, because at the right time, you have to know God, the Holy Spirit, moved them to send a gift that they collected, send it with Epaphroditus to Paul in Rome. And Paul was glad because no one prompted them to give it except the Holy Spirit. The Lord Lord himself led this church. Paul was rejoicing in the Lord because there was evidence beyond question that these Philippian believers were part of the body of Jesus Christ, and they were expressing their love by giving. And Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He didn't want to come across, though, as sounding like he didn't care about their gift, because he really did. He truly was pleased with their gift. He was happy, but not because he himself felt that he had need, but as we've already said, but because they were demonstrating that they were acting in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. His contentment, Paul's peace, the peace of his heart I love what F.B. Meyer says, lay beyond the range of the storms in Christ. So during those 10 years, when he didn't receive gifts from the Philippian believers, Paul supplied his own way. He paid his own way. He worked. He supplied for the needs of those that were with him, his companions. He worked another job. During that time, he was hard-pressed with beatings and shipwrecks and imprisonment and on and on and on. The list goes. And he says, to summarize that point in his life, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm in bonds or whether I'm free, whether I'm standing before magistrates or standing before audiences, I've learned to be content whatever my circumstances, whether I am wealthy or whether I am poor. I've learned to be content. And I think this is so relevant to our times because times are changing fast. One generation experiences the wealth. And we see in our time, in our country, in our world, that poverty is just increasing and increasing and increasing. Christians are suffering all over the world. But Paul experienced the ups and downs of life, and he says, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter if I receive a gift or not receive a gift. It doesn't change anything. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it's like to be in need, and I'm content there. And I know what it's like to have plenty. See what verse 12 says? I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. This is challenging for us because many of us go through life very, very frustrated and very alarmed at our circumstances. We don't like our circumstances so often. We get upset when we have to do things we don't want to do. We always are looking for things to be better, things to be different. If only things were different for me, if only my circumstance would change, then I would be faithful. Paul would say, no, 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 you don't understand it. Here's the secret. Here's the secret. We have to understand something, and I'll make this statement, but let's enlarge on a little bit. The secret is this: the very things that God finds pleasure in, we should be pleased then to enter into them. If it is pleasing to God, it should be our pleasure to enter into the very situation and circumstance we find ourselves in. Here's what we have to look at, though. We must understand that in order to find pleasure in that which pleases the Lord, we have to know something about God, and that is, God is sovereign God. God is sovereign, and God rules in providence. Now, either he does or he doesn't. But the scripture, we believe, demonstrates clearly that God rules in sovereignty, and he rules in providence. Behind the ups and downs listed in verse 12, moves the invisible hand of God. Whether he's well fed, if he's well fed, the hand of God is responsible for it ultimately. If he's hungry, the invisible hand of God is withholding for a purpose that Paul could learn to trust God, that he could learn to cast his anxieties on him, that he could learn to think about Christ all the time, to think about the spiritual virtues of Christ. And in so doing, flowing out from those high thoughts of trusting in a sovereign God who is in control of all things, Paul would experience the contentment that comes as the peace of God fills his heart and as the God of peace is with him. We know that Paul had in mind the invisible hand of God in all circumstances in his life. You need only to think of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that in all things, God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The last part of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says this. Well, I'll just read the whole verse. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We see this, and you can read that verse again in Romans 8:28. This is when we look at chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, we see Romans 8:28 and Ephesians 1:11 and other verses just imprinted right here. And Paul says it this way, from a personal perspective, he says, I know God works all things. His invisible hand is always working. I'm not alone. He says it in verse 13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He sees the one at work who began the work and will finish the work. He sees the one at work who keeps his sheep. And he sees the sovereign God who rules in providence working everything out in conformity to his good will and pleasure, to his pleasure. And so we're having to think about being like Paul, growing in this to find pleasure in that which pleased the Lord. Can you do that right now in your life? And you say, I can't. I'm anxious about things. Then go back to verse 4 and verse 4 through 7 and cast your anxieties upon the Lord, just as Paul encourages us, and give thanks to the Lord. Make your mind submissive to the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, and bless him, thank him that he controls all things by the might of his power according to his good will and purpose. And then also devote your mind, your thinking, to thinking of these great and lofty thoughts that God presents about himself, reveals about himself in Scripture. Because we see the secret is understanding that God is in control, ruling in providence. So with this confidence in God's sovereign providence, and understanding providence means God working all contingencies, all events, all acts, all words, all actions of others even, all decisions, he weaves them together to fit his purpose and pleasure. Everything. And Paul says, I can do all things. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Everything through Christ, who is the sovereign God who rules in providence, who is working through my hunger, or working through my plenty, working through judgments against me, or working when I'm free. He is working out all things for his glory and for my good, whether I'm in bonds or whether I'm free, whether I'm beaten with rods or whether I'm walking down the road rejoicing in the Lord with no problems at all. He says this, I don't care if I'm hurt or well. I don't care, sick or well, hurt feeling good. I've learned the secret to be content, and that is to find pleasure in that which pleases the Lord. And his circumstances, as far as he could tell us, as far as he would tell us, his circumstances were in direct control under the direct supervision of Almighty God through Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that in time, God would order his circumstances to supply his need. Whether the Philippians gave or not, he knew that God knew what he needed. So Paul leads us to conclude that our goal can't be contentment, but our goal must be God, to know him and to trust him, that whatever is his pleasure is best, to believe whatever is his pleasure is best for us, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or living in want. He concludes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He doesn't say simply that in the strength of Christ, but through him. Whether to live or die, whether in plenty or want, whether well-fed or hungry, the secret is finding pleasure in that which pleases our sovereign Christ who rules in providence, even over the disagreeable things in your life and mine. Will you think of this today? Will you consider these things? And will you give thanks to Him today for your circumstances and rejoice and say to Him, if it pleases you, if my circumstance pleases you, then it pleases me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And the promise is the peace of God and the God of peace will be with you. Amen.